Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Cauldron of Bees.
Not the bees!
That's the name of the new podcast. It's our nature podcast about beekeeping and raising rutabagas in the winter in Michigan.
And how sweet honey is.
Honey, you're sweet. Honey is so sweet.
And that's our show.
That's it. Raise bees. Tell them about the birds, and you send them off to school and hope for the best. Get them a good education.
Already?
Tell them about the birds. That got to me after I thought about it for a second. That's pretty funny.
Yes, we are the...
I wanted to sit take all over your Stephen King books, no. Buddy.
Well, that's all right.
Try to be less funny when I'm taking a drink.
I'll do my best. this is episode... Oh, this is episode 80.
80.
Wow.
We won't probably hit 100 this year, but hey!
We'll be close,
this
maybe.
I think we're 5 years into the fucking podcast.
Fucking
is the thing.
Let's do 100 no matter what.
Yeah.
We're going to do 100.
Then we can hit syndication.
Yeah.
We're going to have 10-minute episodes just
to
get to 100.
Like, yeah, I was just going to say, we're going to have like 7 or 8 episodes. They're only like a few minutes long.
Yeah. It'll be like a 2-minute review. Are we there yet? Nope. Episode 98. Record.
The episode where we don't mention Richard Matheson.
We haven't actually mentioned him in a while.
Yeah, actually.
We need to have an episode where we just talk about. And because we're about to talk, we're going to talk about found footage for a second. So, found footage,
uh-huh.
Rob Zombie.
Yep.
Matheson. Bradbury.
Yes.
Stephen King.
Yes, always mentioned.
Yes.
No, but listen, we haven't really done a Rob Zombie one since the first one.
We haven't.
It might be time for an update.
I mean, it really hasn't
when
done
his
anything.
New one comes out.
Yeah, well, shit, we have if it when comes
if out. When, yeah.
We can talk about how angry I am that he never did his director's cut of 31 that he promised.
And, you know, we have done Stephen King.
Yeah.
But we haven't really done Matheson and Bradbury.
No. We did Bradbury.
Did we?
I think we did. I swear we did.
I don't think we did. I think we put it on the list.
Well, we did one about authors.
Right. Yeah, we did. We did do that. Yeah.
Well, in that case, we did Matheson, too, I'm sure.
Yes, we didn't.
Because we never did, like, a straight just Barker, but then, like, it's been so long since I haven't read a brand new Barker.
You're right.
We
put Barker in on that same episode. Yeah.
Which is weird to see that they, like, they're going to do a Books of Blood series.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, it's...
Wow.
I mean, it's a great...
I hope they can make it as good as Rawhead Rex.
Oh, God.
If they can.
Shut up.
As good as that and the other, like, the made-for-TV one movie they did of, like, two of the three.
Yeah.
Jesus. But no, it's
good
stuff. It's interesting.
You better get Wade Axton back. I'm not watching it.
Where's the online petition I want to sign?
Wade Axton or bust.
But no, because there's work on that and then Nightbreed, which I'm like, Nightbreed's... I can see the potential for a long-form story...
Right.
But, look, it's just weird.
They're trying to make Nightbreed as a series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dogs are loose upstairs.
They're big into Nightbreed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They like the reference.
They're getting in my Nightbreed collection stuff.
They're howling their approval.
But, so it's just interesting. And so before we get into our hot topic... We wanted to mention today is the 20th anniversary of when Blair Witch premiered at Sundance, which is
Yay.
Pretty neat. Because, again, I remember reading about it back in the day. I was, like, always on Ain't It Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, him talking about kind of the buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they, premiered it at Sundance, like, there was, like, the straight-up bidding war that, Lionsgate?
I'm looking for clues.
Haxon is who produced it, like, on their end. Like, the company Haxon, and then, like, I can't think of the company, like, that bought it. I want to say...
New Line Cinemas.
No, I want to say it was...
It was Full Moon.
What was the horror end of Lionsgate before? No, shit. Anyways, it's funny, because many times I've seen the movie, and I'm going
to... It's right there, but anyway.
And I'm gonna watch it again tonight, but like I can't think.
I figured you probably were.
I wasn't going to, but I think it's streaming. Cause I think the second one, like the third one, is streaming. Cause I'm like, oh, I can. have a, well, I don't stay up that fucking late, but I'm an addicted to my, I'm addicted to my zombie game, so I'll play that a little maybe too. But no, it's fun because it's a movie that has a lot of you know, for both of us, we were talking memories for both of us, and
totally.
I like that when it came out, it was a big deal, and then like within 2 weeks of being a big deal, it made a ton of money. What was the?
No, I'm listening to you.
Oh, was
kind of, I have an idea where this is going.
Well, no, just how it went, you know, loved it, everybody hated it, now it's kind of, everybody's kind of okay with it. They're like,
yeah. I mean, it's about to hit the rumbles, Halloween 3 moment where everybody loves it again.
Well, no, that's probably shit. You'll get that with the second one, and you're starting to.
Okay.
People are, that's actually pretty brilliant. I'm like, well, no, it's decent.
Blair Witch 2?
Yeah. Would have been real good if they would have let him actually make the movie, or put together the movie he wanted to, Joe Berlinger, but...
I liked it.
I like it, but
yeah.
For what he wanted to do with it, mm-hmm. That's the movie I want to see.
And he's super sour grapes about that.
It sucks that, again, it's the 20th anniversary for the first one, and there's such a market for, like, fans.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking give him, like, some money, have him come in and put an alternate cut together. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I would think that he would want to. Because, like, they fucking did it with the producer's cut of Halloween. So,
right.
Like, that shit exists, I would think.
True.
Like, see what happens.
You know it does, because I heard that fans put it together or something. There's some, like, work print or some bullshit.
Of the second one?
Yeah, somewhere.
Really?
Maybe.
Dude.
I might be making it up.
Like,
but I'm pretty sure of that. That there's something like that. Somebody cobbled something.
We're at a point where you could.
I mean,
like, you know... Fucking Hollywood actors can fucking make Star Wars movies, like in Hobbit movies and shit. Like,
right.
I mean, so I'm sure you can do it.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see it though, because it was. I mean, it was more serious and more, nebulous. Like they didn't answer
right.
Exact questions. He was in like the beginning. Like he didn't show like the whole beginning stuff where you see the murder stuff and all that stuff was added. Like the gore essentially was
mm-hmm.
added, which. I don't know why the first one didn't have it.
They sort of tried to make it more like a 90s
yeah.
movie.
Oh, especially when they fucking put... Then they put Sweet Dreams over it or something?
Yeah, and then they had like the little gimmick where if you went backwards and watch it...
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that on the disc. They kept saying, like, yeah.
Yeah, that was
bizarre. Because, yeah, there's interesting stuff. I want to give it another look. It's just... It plays like a 90s movie.
Yeah.
Which
not
funny,
in, a, not in a great
movie.
Way.
It's a 2000s movie.
A lot of 90s movies play like 90s movies in cool ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blair Witch 2 doesn't, but
yeah.
I still kind of like it.
But
I think it's better than everybody said, at least.
I just watched that Unsane, and it had Josh Leonard in it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he's okay. It's just, it's an awful movie.
It's ungood.
It is. I'm glad he shot it on an iPhone, because you can just fucking sell it.
Oh, is that the one on the iPhone?
Yeah.
See?
That's how Steven Soderbergh uses his iPhones.
Yeah.
Which, I mean... Shit, those are fucking $1,500 phones, so that's an expensive camera still.
You can shoot 4K.
Yeah.
I've shot some stuff 4K on my Samsung.
Yeah.
It takes a lot
Hexen.
Of battery.
Hexen films.
Well, yeah, that's their company, like
the
releasing company.
Artisan!
Yeah.
Is Artisan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember who owned or owns Artisan, but yeah, Artisan put it out.
Mm-hmm. I knew it was right there.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yep. I can see the logo now. Yeah, because it was cool because they put out, like, the week before it went wide, Sci-Fi put on the first documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
what
I wanted to talk about, because I worked at Blockbuster, and we got the movies, like, a couple weeks before they come out.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be like, oh, you have to take these home and watch them.
So you can talk about them?
Yeah. And I was so happy. I'm like, oh, shit, I got Blair Witch. And then I had the documentaries that came in separate VHSs.
That's cool.
So I watched that whole stack in one night.
And, the documentaries are... I mean, all of the documentaries... That's what's cool. All the documentaries they did for them are great. And the first book they
Super
did...
Super fun.
They did a one book that's like a carry-on of the story, and that's great.
The Blair Witch Chronicles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that was good.
So, like...
The comics that came out were good.
What's funny is I only have two of them, so I got to get the other two and finish... Like,
they're good.
Reread them.
I have them somewhere. But yeah, the
cereal wasn't that good.
No.
But it was cereal.
I mean, that
sticks
shape just...
Stones.
That shape would... You'd bite... You'd marshmallow stones and then, like, the sticks and... Oat sticks, and you'd bite it and then, like, stab the roof of your mouth. You got, like, a...
As a pride... Walk away crying.
As a prize, it came with a... Oh, it'd turn your the milk red.
It would whisper to you while you're watching TV. That was bad. Snap, crackle.
Snap, crackle, kill. But no, the documentaries are great. They're absolutely like...
They were an hour long. They weren't like flimsy. Like, 45
super
minutes.
Super creepy, done absolutely deadpan, like... And I think that's the thing, is it's very difficult to do that. It's to do something like that absolutely earnestly with no tongue-in-cheek and no irony. Like, you are like, no, these are three kids that disappeared. Like, they were doing this, and there's a rumor of some kind of witch in the woods. And, like, go to a documentary. And you see, like, modern real documentaries that kind of tap into that.
They do. They're set up almost just like that.
So, I mean, shit, that Oak Island nonsense is that kind of a thing. Because it's like, I don't believe that. None of those kind of things. But it's creepy. And, like, the ghost shows. Stuff. And, yeah. Oh, the Cropsey one's perfect.
Great.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's good.
That's a, it's a really good doc. And, yeah, it's like, so it was interesting. I mean, that's why, I mean, I'm going to get that. The Blair Witch book I was going to, but I think I'm going to the Arrow put out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious now. But that's what's... So, it's fascinating to know the story of how they shot it.
Yep.
And how they did it is just interesting.
And it's another one of those things that made a whole bunch of people into filmmakers.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, yeah.
Around that same time period.
Yep. And I think there's so many layers, like, because they hit at the apex, like, where they... They had a web presence that, again, furthered the mystery. They had this fake documentary aspect where they did two for the first movie.
Because you weren't really sure.
Or one for that one and then two for the second movie? I forget.
Two.
Two for the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. There's two for the first
one. Because I know there's three total.
Yep.
But, like, and that furthered it. And then, like, the movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, all the rumors of alternate endings. And,
right.
Like that they shot all this footage. And it's, like, there's so much stuff that just didn't make it. And...
And the internet, it wasn't the same as it is now.
Yeah.
So right, some people were still like, is it real?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there also wasn't talkback back then.
Right.
There was a social media. Right?
Man.
You had the internet telling us everything. We weren't telling it anything.
Ooh, good.
Yeah.
And
it
helped to some degree.
It was funner.
You can imagine people would today, 4 minutes after it showed its premiere, people would have been like, dumbest thing ever.
Oh, by the way, this is the ending.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's like, please don't ruin the ending.
Oh, by the way, blah.
The Blair Witch is Kylo Ren's mother. And I'm mad that his mother's a woman, because why does a woman have to be his mother?
Oh, man.
Why can't Snoke be everyone's mother?
I don't know if you could really pull it off now. The closest thing is Paranormal Activity.
As far as the
phenomenon.
Oh, I mean, and I'm thinking, like, there's kind of stunt stuff, because that is stunty, but because, like, when last year's Cloverfield movie came out.
Right.
Paradox.
Right.
But that was more of a mic drop, kind of like, oh, shit. But you see...
It's the same thing.
You see, like, if that hadn't come out in the talkback era, as you call it, like, it might have played a little better. But as soon as, like, people are, you know, watched it, so 2 hours after it was on after the Super Bowl, literally, like, oh, stupid.
Right. There's no time to let it be organic and evolve.
And good or bad, it's just you don't get an honest opinion, because it's just like,
I'm over it. I'm over everything. A Paranormal Activity documentary ahead of time would have been interesting.
Yeah, oh my god, that would have been... See, and I want them to, I mean, redo the last movie. But, like, yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Like just something...
Treat it like
a ghost show.
Yep.
Like, looking at, like, this is where that Micah Float was murdered, and they supposedly have a activity, and blah, blah, and, like, the wife disappeared, and this is the house. And, oh, like, and they're just there, and they're, do you hear something? And, like, oh, we found something in the attic. And it's, like, tease shit. Like, that'd be amazing.
Because isn't it interesting that it's 20 years later, and there's still found footage movies?
Oh, yeah,
it really
got
kicked off by that, like, as
it
far
did.
As being a
really,
mainstream...
Really, yeah.
Phenomenon.
It was the first phenomenon one.
Right.
Because when Blair Witch came out, you had film nerds going, you know, this broadcast already
did
that.
Yeah, come on.
And you're
at least
whatever.
It's
at least this is
too.
Interesting.
Well,
and there was lots of like you guys were just saying, there was buzz outside the film itself about the film.
Right.
You know, they were great at marketing.
That's the important
it.
Part. The marketing
well,
and the buzz.
The marketing
the thing
was
too,
amazing.
Is like,
genius.
The thing is that Last Broadcast pulls a Screamingly Mutilated, or Shriekingly Mutilated, where it fucks
oh, yeah.
you. It sells you a movie, and then it betrays what the movie is at the end, and it fucks you, and it's a piece of shit because of that. Like, no, cause I remember,
how do you really feel?
I remember watching this. Our friend Jack was like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, you should see it. Because he likes it. And I
yeah.
watched it, and I'm like, I liked it until the end, and they betray it at the end. I'm like, oh, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Don't sell me on movie A and then throw a twist in. And I'm like, no. Sometimes twist works.
It isn't for that at all.
It's not, no, it's the same thing with Shriek of the Mutilated, which at least that one's in, cause that one's so shocking. It's interesting, because that's like, and it's, that one is a weird 70s movie about these people, and they're out kind of camping-ish, but like, there's a fucking Yeti out there, and they're like, oh, have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, God. So there's a Yeti and stuff, and it's killing them. And like, the people are like, oh, my God. And it's crazy, and it's like, what the hell? And then the twist, and spoiler alert, if you're that desperate to see Shriek of the Mutilated and haven't seen it, like, I'm going to spoil it for 30 seconds. It's crazy because the twist is there's one woman left, and it turns out that it's cannibals. And it's a someone in a suit, and they were just basically killing these kids and grabbing them, cause, and they serve her, one of her friends, at a dinner, and they're all cannibals. It's crazy. It's so crazy.
That shit crazy.
It works. Because the suit was actually pretty good, and the way they shot it, you think it's a fucking Yeti movie. I'm still mad it's not a Yeti movie,
right.
But like, it
but
doesn't
if you're
feel
do
like
it
a,
that way,
yeah, it doesn't feel like a betrayal. It's so weird because that's like
interesting.
Such a weird like, okay, we're crazy cannibals. We need a cover. Yeti. They're not just going to disappear. A Yeti will get them. So.
Yeah, you'd never think that.
The original title, technically, which would have ruined everything for you, was it was called Yeti Spaghetti. And now you would have been like, I see what they're going to do here.
The alternate title was called Not Yeti.
How come you know some in-depth details about Shriek of the Mutilated?
See?
Oh, for Yeti Spaghetti?
Yeah.
His uncle wrote the script.
Yeah.
Your uncle wrote the screenplay?
He did.
Cool.
Anton Yetovich.
Ben. He's Ben.
Ben.
But again, not to belabor the Blair Witch thing. I mean, it's honestly, one of these days, me and Paul should just do a Blair Witch podcast.
Let's do it.
If I could just talk about the series, me and you.
I would love it. Let's do it. We'll detail everything.
Verbal masturbation of the Blair Witch series. I'm seriously,
I'm all in. Let's do
I'm
it.
All in.
Let's do it.
Okay, so like the main thrust of this podcast, though, was we had thought a while ago how interesting it was to note the careers of Peter Jackson and Guillermo del Toro, who started really in similar ways,
mm-hmm.
kind of like, you know, outsiders, interested in special effects, did special effects, started their own companies, and then how they've become these huge names.
Yeah.
And if you look
and
at their first films,
Oscar winners at this
Best Picture winners.
They went from the lowest possible point that you could be at
to
Oscar winners.
Literally bootstrapped it. And did Del Toro win for Best Director?
Yeah.
Then Jackson must have.
Wait, no, Del Toro.
He won Best Film.
No, he won Best Director.
He won Best Director.
So, yeah, they both won Best Film, Best Director then.
Yeah.
So that's, and it's, again, that's fascinating because they both did genre work, still do, I mean, Del Toro does, and Jackson wants to get back to it. But, like, so we thought we'd talk about that, just to kind of preface.
And, you know, right outside, peeking in, is Sam Raimi. Like,
yeah.
He's right outside the door, like, looking in the window. Like,
he's gotten, like,
here I am, I'm over here, I'm not quite there, but...
He
matters to be mentioned with this, I think.
I think he
started with Evil Dead, and then he's legit. You know?
He screws himself because I think he it's almost like he doesn't know what he wants to be.
Yeah.
Because like he did like the indie horror stuff, and then he transitioned to, like Simple Plan.
Yep.
And Simple Plan stuff, like that's your ticket towards Oscar. But then he started doing kind of Tim Burton-y type of movies, where he did like the Oz movie.
Which was
The Spider-Man movies and stuff, so it's kind of like he took a detour.
Spider-Man 2, I was thinking of it.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, when you get to that, you know, the Simple Plan was him making that big, cool art house movie that could have been Oscar nominated.
Right.
And when you think about Peter Jackson's very first Oscar nomination for any kind of Heavenly Creatures, which those are very comparable type movies.
You could put them on a double bill.
Mm-hmm. Let's watch these crazy thrillers that are super artsy and, you know, extremely well made.
I love that I'm including Sam here just for this moment. We'll get off of it, but I just wanted to... Just for this moment is that I love that they're all who they are still.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing.
Yeah, I mean, of the three, Sam Raimi seems like he still hasn't done his greatest film.
Yep.
Like, he's done, I mean, like, again, Evil Dead 2 is great. All those movies are great, but they're amazing. Like, he has, you can tell, like, he has vision. Like,
yeah, totally.
Like, you can see it.
Even in the Oz movie.
Darkman, he has, like, he did a freaking, his own property, like, comic book movie before people were making them, and it's an R-rated horror comic. It's great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has the chops.
Yep.
And, you know, he just... I can't remember what his next...
Don't you think some of it also is in the writing? Because...
Well, if you're taking the all three of them together, it is within the writing, and that's what holds
Sam back. Del Toro...
Well, and...
Del Toro's a writer.
Well, and here's the thing.
Yes.
Del Toro of the three is the film historian. Jackson is more interested in the oldies too, though. Raimi's interested in like the slapstick.
Right.
There's no such thing.
He's not going to divorce himself from that.
Yeah, I mean that's who he is. There's really not. No
looking
such
at Spider-Man 3, you're like, what?
There's no slapstick like Oscar kind of movie.
Right.
Like, there just aren't. And so I think that's what it is. That's his personality, and that's how Jackson started, but he transitioned.
Yeah.
And I think Raimi can, but I think that's just
he would have to watch.
He doesn't come off like. I think the problem with Raimi is that he didn't have the movie that was successful enough to let him write his own check.
Right.
Like, he did movies that did well, that got him close, but Del Toro has an Oscar now.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, the Hellboy movies did decent enough, and Pacific Rim did decent enough. Like, not huge, but, like, we'll give him some money. Not a ton, but we'll give him some money. And, like, he sees out his vision.
No, and I think Raimi saw some that were potential, he thought, were Oscar things that... The movie itself didn't work.
Right.
He had that baseball movie, which I'm sure to him looked like an Oscar.
God, yeah, like a
film.
Mm-hmm.
With Kevin Costner?
I didn't like it, but yeah. Well, shoot. Quick and the Dead.
Bless you.
Quick and the Dead.
Like, he's...
Well, he's the star of that movie, which is always weird when you watch that. It's got tons of people, right? Yeah. Gene Hackman.
But it's got
Sharon Stone.
He deserves
Leonardo
DiCaprio, Lance Henriksen.
Raimi deserves
Raimi's editing in that. You're
because
like
the way he shot it. No one had ever shot a Western like that.
No, yeah.
Absolutely. It shows like it doesn't have to be slow pan.
Right.
It's like dynamic and like actiony.
Editing is Raimi. Like that's where that's the masterwork there.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't hate Spider-Man 3. So I'm just like, oh, it's Raimi way through.
I forgive him that.
I
because
get why
his
people
fault.
Don't like it, but I like it because it's Raimi all the way.
But again, it's not his fault though. That's
right.
Not the movie he wanted to make.
No, he didn't want
to
do that.
He was signed on by like, you know, the people at Sony to do the movie that they wanted him to do, and that's
it
is what
it
is.
He did the best he could
do
with it.
Like,
but he, you know, when he did that, he was like, I'm cutting loose a little bit.
Yeah.
anyway, so Raimi knocking on the door.
Yeah.
You can't come in right now.
Right. I hope he gets, like, he deserves, and he's young enough, he deserves, like, to kind of hit a stride.
I hope he does.
I mean, because really, he hasn't done a movie in a while. Like, Oz, The Great and Powerful, was that his last movie?
I think. Yeah. Unless he did something smaller after that.
I can't think of it. Like, it's been a minute. So, it's curious, I don't know if he's stuck in kind of Romero, like, kind of,
well, he's doing Cons.
Oh, shit, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So... What if someone said, oh, Guillermo del Toro is going to be a flashback? You'd be like, what?
I'm
going to pawn some stuff. I'm going.
Well, shit, though. Del Toro goes, though, to the big shows in L.A. Like, I think that one that's like, it's like the classic horrors and stuff. Like, that big show, and I can't.
Oh, the great big one.
Yeah. The big, big one. Like, he goes out there because he buys art and stuff there.
Yeah.
But, no, like, it's interesting, though, because, Jackson started, like, as a splatter, kind of splatterpunk movie guy.
Yep.
Kronos is more of a low-key vampire film. So they started out differently, but both are special effects movies, as they both kind of, like, had hands in all of that.
And they both are into the actual special effects.
Yep.
Which is interesting, because not a lot of directors really do that.
No. I mean, well, in Del Toro was all about, like, set design and set direction, and Jackson's about placemaking. Because when you look at the sets they did for the Lord of the Rings movies and stuff, and for even the Creatures, like...
Totally.
Like, he definitely has that. It's interesting because of the two, the one you think kind of came the furthest is Jackson.
Yeah.
If you look at... Meet the Feebles.
Yeah.
And then look at the guy that's going to win an Oscar.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
and he's going to win another one, I'm sure.
Right.
Like, well, what's funny is you would almost think he'd have a chance, but I don't think it came out in time or they didn't count it that documentary he just...
Oh, that's my God.
Is it up for one? I don't think it is.
There's no way it can't be.
I don't think it's up for one. I think it's all...
Are you serious?
It looks
nobody's
so
ever
incredible.
Done anything like this.
It's just
like,
the trailer
But
of
I don't
that.
Know if they'd credit him with it.
Why?
Or would they just say that he was the editor?
I don't know. He
made
it as a director.
He directed it.
Let's see. 2019. I just don't think he'll win. I mean, I think he could, though. With something like that, like his...
Here's where I think he's going to win the Oscar. All of those technical Oscars.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to sweep it. That's what I mean. I don't think he's going to win Greatest Film.
Yeah.
I don't think... He might not even be up for documentary. There's no way this movie's not going to win some technical Oscars because... Nobody's ever done this before.
You should give him an Oscar for the trailer.
Right.
It's just beautiful.
It's amazing.
I almost cried the first time I saw the fucking trailer.
But
for those of you that don't know,
it's Free Solo, Half Country, This Evening, Minding the Gap, and Fathers and Sons, and RBG. So no, it's not up for an Oscar. Will not be forgotten.
Yeah.
Will not be forgotten.
Something like that.
I didn't think it was up for Best Picture. That's
documentary.
I meant it could be up. I didn't even think that really.
My
brain was all on the technical aspect.
It depends on when it came out, but I think it came out last year, so it might be one of those that they just didn't.
Has it played anywhere yet?
It's getting a wider release this weekend. It's like
it might be able to qualify next year. Because I'm really surprised they ignored it.
Don't forget it by then.
Yeah. Well, you never know. You never know.
You never know, but. I mean, it's kind of one of those bonkers movies.
It makes sense because that's what he loves. He loves that technical aspect, pushing the boundaries with the visuals.
Well, he made something similar long ago where he made his fake one called
Forgotten
Silver,
which
is just an amazing movie that I wish more people saw.
I didn't realize. I read something that said that he did it for TV, basically. But, like, it's just... I wish that was going to be in, like, he's working on his, quote unquote, box set of his first movies.
Yeah.
And I don't think, because it's Bad Taste, Feebles, and then Brain Dead.
Right, Brain Dead.
I think it's four.
Then it would be Forgotten Silver, because that was, I think, the fourth.
Okay.
But.
Oh, that'd be cool. I'd be down for that.
Yeah, it's a great, again, it falls into the kind of the Blair Witch kind of folumentary.
Right.
But it's said so earnestly about a Kiwi filmmaker that, like, revolutionized all these things. It was always kind of like, is it Being There, where he was always, or Forrest Gump, where you're always kind of near to, like, everything
near.
Happening, but you aren't necessarily the guy that did it. You're it was kind of like the filmmaker was the Tesla to Edison.
Right.
Like, he didn't get the credit for the shit that he created.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a great movie, though, but, yeah, and then, Del Toro delved more quickly into Hollywood because he
learned how to play the game real early.
Yeah, which I mean, they both, and it makes me wonder what their relationship is because they both. Because of Hobbit, they both kind of like because
he wrote some
that's
of the
that's where they set the cross right there.
But
right.
I mean, they both know the, and I think that's why Del Toro quit is because he knows the system. He knows how in Hollywood works. It's like they made he had to cut. Shit, the one bug movie, because they released that one
right.
Like a different cut of that, and so like he knows, in how many all the movies he's wanted to make.
He knows he's got to play ball.
Yeah,
I heard him talking to you and say, "You make Blade, then you can make Pan's Labyrinth."
Yeah,
you make Blade 2, you make Hellboy, then you can make your movie.
Yep.
But he loves all his movies.
Yeah.
But he thinks of them in
that
way.
Yeah, because Blade 2, and then because he did Kronos, and then he did
Mimic.
Yeah, that's the one that I
never
remember.
No, the second one is...
Oh, the one with the kid.
Yeah, the Tati.
Amazing.
Yeah, I can't think of the fucking name. The bomb one, yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
But he did that one, and
Devil's
then he
back
did...
Bomb.
Devil's Backbone.
Yeah.
And then he did... probably Mimic or Blade 2.
Mimic, I think.
And then Blade 2, and then Pan's Labyrinth, and then Hellboy, Hellboy 2,
Crimson Peak.
No,
that?
No, not yet. Would have been Hellboy 2, maybe Pacific Rim.
Oh, right.
And then Crimson Peak, and then the new one.
Because Pacific Rim kind of teeters on art film and mainstream.
Yeah, it's the least of the ones I like of his, but it's still fun. It's like, that's the worst you can say is that, like, his worst movie is absolutely fun.
Oh, no doubt
like,
about it.
Which is kind of like Tarantino. It's like, the worst you can say is that it's engaging.
Yeah.
Like, it's
Did you like Mimic more than Pacific Rim?
Yes, absolutely. Wow. I think Mimic's great. I think it's a great
I like Mimic more now since you showed me the other cut.
Yeah, I think it's a great scary movie.
It's very good.
It's creepy because it's creepy. It's a very creepy...
Like you, well, you said it. His worst movie is some people's best.
Yeah.
Period. That's just how it goes.
Yeah. And, I mean, and Raimi, again, like, he has... Because I don't like the baseball movie.
I haven't
seen it. Did. I forgot he fucking did it.
I remember it because...
Is this the one with his daughter or something? Or is that a different movie? Anyway, it don't matter, but...
Kevin Costner's a tiger or something? And
Yeah,
and it's just, it's super mediocre.
I didn't see it.
Detroit Tiger.
I didn't see it, but I like it already just because he's a
but
tiger.
Like,
what's wrong with you guys?
The thing with him, though, is he bounced back because he did, like... And the fans finally have fully embraced Drag Me to Hell.
Finally.
Like,
stupid.
When it came out, like, everybody's kind of like, eh, but I think people in retrospect are like, no, that's... Full
this
out,
is
ball
exactly
to ball,
what
crazy
you want.
Yeah. Like, well, I think fans are bitter because he didn't do Evil Dead 4, and they won't forgive him, so he did the fucking series. And now he's kind of like, look, Evil Dead's in the past now. We're good.
And he even
we're
did an episode of the series.
And they did a reboot. Like, they said, hey, we're going to reboot it, so who knows what could happen. And it did okay. It didn't do great. So, they're like, and the director, Fede Alvarez, is kind of like, I would love to do a second one.
Yeah.
I don't think there's money for it. No. I don't think there's money for it. So he's going to do other shit. And I think everybody's just kind of like, look. Like, Campbell finally is pushed away from the table because he's realizing, like,
Mom, we've
at
got
my
enough
age,
of it.
Like, I've got to, like, there's a point where you just got to kind of say, look.
Yeah.
We've done as much as we can
we
do
did.
With Ash. Like, the TV show gave you as much as you
can. You got 40 hours of Ash.
Yeah.
Go watch it.
Yeah,
fine.
It's like,
yeah.
I was disappointed when they canceled it, but come on, what can you really ask for?
Well, and there's one of those things, like, what grand, overarching, giant story do you think they could tell?
Right.
I think they were working towards one, but really, what would it be? Like,
Ash in the apocalypse. That's
because he's always going to be like
make a comic,
the ne'er-do-well like hero that like you know he'll stop to screw one of the hot demon chicks before he beheads her. You know,
and there's a point where you don't want to not like Ash.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The warning being Walking Dead.
Yeah.
There's a point where you're like, I don't care now.
Yep.
And that would just break your heart.
Yeah.
For Ash to become that character.
Well, that happened. That happened to Freddy.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Until Freddy's dead.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, Freddy's dead. Until like the final nightmare. Like it reached a point where it's like, I got it. Blah blah blah.
Right.
I'm Freddy. Yep. I'm making jokes. Like.
Yeah, I mean, it started with part five, and then Freddy's dead killed him.
It was funny. I was reading a funny like little back and forth of fans, and they were bemoaning how the remake. How it was terrible they made Freddy into a child molester, and it was better when he was just a child killer. I'm like, whoa, I'm sorry. I mean, there are people that just kill children, but I'm like, I always felt it was really insinuated that he wasn't necessarily just killing kids.
No,
like, he wasn't he's like...
Remember he licks the picture?
Like, yeah, yeah.
There's weird, there's...
Well, and his obsession, it's not like, and he's obsessed with, like, these kids that are adult, like teenager now, like, he's like, I'm your boyfriend now.
It's
like,
insinuated.
There's sexuality into his relationship with them.
Act that out again.
I'm your hot host now, Nancy. But it was just funny, they're just bent out of shape. I'm like, oh, clutch the pearls, they've destroyed him.
Right.
Like, just like, oh god, they made Jason a mama's boy. Duh. Like, that's what he was, dummies. But it's interesting, so, like, where do you think their careers kind of turn? Like, Del Toro and Jackson?
Well, Jackson, I think, when they're ready to give him a lot of money, it's his version of Ghostbusters that I think did it.
See, I think the turn, though, when you think of, like, what really, because he did, so he did Bad Taste, and then he did Feebles, and then he did Brain Dead. And then he Forgotten Silver, and then he did Heavenly Creatures. So all of a sudden, he pivoted.
That's true. He did
pivot. He pivoted, and, like, that got him so much acclaim, they were like, oh, it's Peter Jackson guy.
But
Who's that guy?
Frighteners put seats in butts and seats.
That, well, that
and Heavenly Creatures is a very highbrow.
And Frighteners let people know, look what you can do.
Yes.
That was crazy,
look,
right?
Make a big epic.
Well, it was great because so when the movie came out, it was cut by a bunch. So they released, like, I remember when the Laserdisc came out and I got this huge fucking set in a 4-hour documentary.
Yeah.
And like a half an hour longer film or 45 minutes. So this amazing set. And
it was the Lord of the Rings.
Seriously. And in it, like he talks about, it shows them how massive was the computer program that they used, because he formed Weta Special Effects.
Mm-hmm.
But they created a computer program, and it showed like the very, very like first trials of Lord of the Rings. And they're talking about like, yeah, no, Frighteners is like helped him to like gave the money to create the computer system for those special effects that led to the Lord of the Rings series, so they could do these giant. Like battle scenes
and
stuff.
King Kong.
Right.
Yeah.
Where
yeah,
they would Kong, believe yeah. that. Where you could be like, oh, I believe Peter Jackson can pull that off.
Well, and
you know what I mean?
If like, it wasn't for Peter Jackson, like, people like Andy Serkis, you wouldn't hear people talking about, like, that should be Oscar worthy. Like, we talk about those performances as in their Oscars. Cause
and
a,
Doug Jones
full,
for Guillermo.
For full performances in a capture. Yeah. But it's like, because it's animated, quote unquote, it's not. It's like, but no. They're acting all of it. They're just basically the animation is the suit they're wearing.
Right.
Like so, it's different. And then people
the pathos
like,
is coming
that.
From the guy.
Oh yeah. I mean, even like you know Doug Jones and the guy, the person that was in Wreck and then like was he was in Wreck and then he was in Conjuring 2
mm-hmm.
as
the
creepy dude.
Yeah, yeah.
But like that kind of physical
Crooked Man
physical performance where mm-hmm. it's like it's. They just see it as a digital effect. It's like, no, there's someone acting on, like, Mama and stuff.
Yep.
And yeah, that's Jackson. Just mm-hmm. like, you know, Del Toro made a fucking Fishman movie with, like, a weird Fishman in it won an Oscar, and people, like, it moved people. Like,
one of the things that's...
No,
I was...
No, you're fine.
When you look at those movies, I mean, we always talk about special effects, and you were just going into it, and I interrupted, but... The acting in those, even the small parts, for Jackson, they're great actor-directors, and people don't think of them as good actor-directors. And I remember, even in Frighteners, it was one of the earliest Jake Busey movies.
Yeah.
That character was like, what is this guy?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Well, that movie is just, it's a movie that...
Because it's kind of, it's way darker than you expect
it
to be.
But it's one of those movies like...
It's creepy.
Yeah.
It was made for us.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
These
yeah.
kids from the 80s that loved Ghostbusters,
yep.
and they never, ever really made, you know, they made Ghostbusters 2, but whatever. But, like, there was never anything like that. Where it, like, gets, it's funny, but it's creepy, and it's, like, hits this whole, like,
Monster
King kind of feel.
Even.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, it just nailed it.
And Teen Wolf and all that, because it
Arlie Ermey was hilarious in it. And
oh,
it's
it was
like,
amazing.
Arlie Ermey got cast as the same fucking thing and everything, but they cartooned him in that. Like, he was such a cartoon. He was great in it. Fucking, Gomez Adam guy. I can't think of his name.
Raw. No, that's not him, is it?
Because he was the old gunslinger guy, and I can't think of the actor. Fuck.
Yeah.
I can't think, because his son was the one that was in fucking Lord of the Rings. Frodo's pal.
Yeah.
Aston.
Oh,
yeah.
Aston was
yeah,
great.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Aston's great. Like, it's just, it's got, like, these great performances.
Yeah. Yeah, he's amazing in that.
But, I mean, the whole
he
movie...
He is really good.
I love
fucking,
him.
Fucking What's His Face steals the movie. And it was... Oh, shit. Herbert West, and I can't think of his name.
Jeffrey Combs,
and, like...
He steals so many damn movies.
Fans knew Jeffrey Combs, but that was the one that people are just like,
that
oh,
was some
shit.
Fan service.
Yeah.
The one that I... You know, of course, Michael J. Fox is great in it, too, but... Dee Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
really
Dee is just like, what?
One
another
part.
One. Yeah.
She finally got to act. Like,
yeah.
I mean, she's always, like, but I mean, when you think of that, and then you think of, like, Cujo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot
are,
of
that's
just
it,
her,
really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where she gets to really, like, show her chops.
Yep.
That was just
being
quoted.
You made that point so many times, and it starts to bug me that they don't take these actors seriously enough when they're making movies. They don't go, like, let's let Dee Wallace act.
But again, though, I just watched a fucking Bruce Willis movie where literally he was Bruce... I mean, everybody complains about this, but, like, how embarrassed would you be if you're Bruce Willis in 10 years? And you're like, you look back, like, He's rich. I mean, he won't, but no. I mean, it's shitty because, like, bro, you're rich.
Yeah.
I give Nick Cage all the credit in the world because that dude's just doing weird shit. Like, he's reached a point and he's, like, doing weird-ass shit.
Fuck, like, I'm going to do what I want.
He's kind of like Keanu Reeves. They're both kind of like, look, this is how I act. This is who I am. Like it or don't, I'm going to fucking do the movies I want to do, and they're great because of that.
And not to stray too far from it, but you give credit to M. Night and Wes Anderson for getting Bruce Willis to act. Like, that actually, he's playing actual roles where you're not like, oh, it's Bruce
Willis.
I think it's the script.
I mean, yeah. I think the script was for Unbreakable so good, and I think if he's good in Glass, I'll hope he is.
Right. Like if he's still playing the same character.
Then I'll assume it's because he has an investment in it. And honestly, you have Sam Jackson you're playing with. I don't think Sam Jackson's going to suffer a fucker. Like, I think he'll be like, really, Bruce Willis? Like, I don't give a fuck about you. Like, I grew up on the streets. I don't give a fuck about you. You're not going to act.
Yeah,
and
you're
and McAvoy.
Yeah, like, McAvoy brings 100%.
You're not
in bad movies.
You're right. That's
Anya
a good
Taylor
point.
Is the one woman?
Oh, she's so great.
And
man.
The up and covered. Yeah, she's got chops. And then you have the other woman that's in it who comes from like a bunch of good shit.
Yeah,
because
like you could be Bruce Willis and act like an idiot in some dumbass action movie, but if you're standing next to James McAvoy,
yeah,
you're gonna look like a fool.
Like,
yes,
20 characters.
Right.
Yeah. Hi, I'm half your age. Guess how good of an actor
I am. And Anya Taylor.
Yeah.
Both of them. And I mean, Sam Jackson ain't no slouch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
And
it's a lot of the people around him.
Even at his worst, when Sam Jackson is just being Sam Jackson, it's engaging.
He's still watchable.
Like, Bruce Willis is just like...
He's mailing it in.
Well, he's literally, like, just white action guy. Like, right. white, angry action guy. Like, the system screwed him over, so he's mad. It's all those fucking movies, like... I'm going to quit. You can't quit. We need you. Fuck you.
Or he just didn't take it seriously
at
all, like he did to poor Kevin Smith.
Like fucking Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood knew what the Dirty Harry movies were. That's why he doesn't make no fucking Dirty Harry movies anymore.
Right.
He's a fucking one-note character. He did it for a minute, and then he's like, cool,
I did that.
Like,
yeah.
I'm going to do other shit now.
I don't got to keep doing it over and over.
Like, Bruce Willis, you see fucking Sin City? And again, like, he always is Bruce Willis, but, like, he is talented enough that there's nuance to him being him.
Mm-hmm.
Sin City, you kind of see it. Like, you can see it and stuff.
Good in Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah,
too.
Like... So.
He's actually playing a guy with emotion.
Yeah, so...
Anyway.
But, yeah, like... but, no, you're right. Like, with the acting and stuff, when you think of, like... Del Toro hasn't gotten a chance to do, and that's a shame... that Hobbit didn't work out, because...
Right.
Fans have punished Jackson... for, like, not getting, like, for because he directed them in every which way, and poor Del Toro, because that would have been, because he's never gotten a full, like, he always gets half a canvas to play with, and Jackson finally got, like, the full fucking, like, yeah, three canvases, basically, this giant fucking canvas, as big as you could want, and Del Toro hasn't gotten that opportunity, like, when you think Crimson Peak probably is the biggest.
Closest.
Just because, like, literally, like, the set design and stuff, and so it's not
about
effects, it's about these sets.
When he makes his design... And it's going on the screen.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's, man.
And I feel bad because Jackson gets raked over the coals for Hobbit, and I'm like, no. As far as my understanding, New Line wanted three movies, because they did three out of Lord of the Rings. And I'm sure he was kind of like, we can. Cause
wasn't he going to do turn it down?
Yeah. It's more money. It's more money for him, more money for the actors,
and
more money
like
for all
said,
these people.
It's a huge canvas to play with.
And
like, I get to go build more worlds.
And
okay,
like,
I guess.
It's like, that's a dude who made these giant movies and every fucking penny is on the screen.
Yep.
One way or another.
It's
not like these, like, Waterworld. It's a hugely expensive movie, and I've never seen it, so I'm not going to talk shit about the film itself, but I'm like, it would be expensive to build water sets like that, but I'm like, is it really a $200 million movie? Because I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Like, shit like that, it's like, no, like, uh-uh.
Yeah, even if you hated Lord of the Rings or whatever, you'd be like, okay, every penny is on the screen.
Yeah, and
they're
just
that
like,
is a
like,
gorgeous looking
like,
movie.
All of
the movies are.
Even Hobbits, like, they're epic, like, in every which way.
King Kong.
And, oh, yeah,
King
Kong,
third,
epic as hell.
The third Hobbit is almost front-to-back war movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's tough to pull off.
Right.
But the whole thing's a war. Yep, the whole thing's a war, dude.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, too, is I think he was trying to...
Ask George Lucas. That's hard to do.
They were trying, I think, to make... Or on his end, to me, they were trying to make kind of the same arc of Lord of the Rings in that trying to make it, like, that it is this huge, like,
journey. Right. That it's not like, whereas the kid's book, it was kind of a kid's book, and it was very kind of short, and he was trying to give it, you know, gravitas and, like, this depth and
make
stuff.
Make it fit
big,
into that
huge,
universe.
Yeah, to fit the other films, and to set the table to kind of, like, lead into, like, no, this leads into this giant war that's coming, and this is the beginning of it. This is the beginning of that war.
Because he already established that world, it couldn't just be a little, you know.
Yeah.
It couldn't be that. It couldn't be the Hobbit cartoon. It had to be bigger.
And I get it, but that people don't like it. But my thing is always like, look, if the worst thing that you had to do was sit through watching a world that you have been gay, like, those characters, great actors, amazing set.
I know, right?
Fun little story, like, if that's the worst movie you've seen, bro,
you
should
see more movies, like, right?
Like, you're a lucky person, like.
Right. I think it's, you know, obviously they're not Lord of the Rings.
No.
But they're worth a damn watch.
Yeah.
And you go to a different world, there's something to be said for that.
I mean, it says something that, shame on me, and I apologize, like, Billy Connolly. Billy Connolly talks so much shit about Lord of the Rings movies, but it's in these, and it's great.
Right.
So it says something about Jackson that he didn't take it to heart.
Right.
And it says something about Connolly that he was like, oh no, I'll fucking be in it, and I'll be like the tits. Like,
don't get me wrong, I'm gonna do it.
He's hilarious. He's absolutely great as that character in it.
Probably the most appealing thing about it for me, besides the actual world.
And I think it's the last thing he ever did.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's going to piss him off.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But,
with Del Toro, he's taking the budget and making it look like he had even more money.
I think he
which is really, really something.
I think for him, I think in his heart of hearts, he wants to tell us a horror story that large.
Yeah.
But I think he understands that the business is, that's not how business is. Like, horror movies succeed when they're low budget because they don't cost much. So I think he wants to tell smaller, intimate, and that's why they're so designed.
Yeah.
And because it's like, okay, I can't tell this, I don't have a giant portrait or a giant canvas. I'm going to tell a small canvas story with intricate as hell that you have to get as, like, right up on it to see the detail.
And you're going to, but you feel like those are epic movies.
Oh, yeah.
All the way back, even Devil's Backbone. It feels like a pretty big movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's themes that, you pick up later. And
I think with almost everything that he has a lot to do with, you know, maybe not everything that he's produced and whatnot, that he makes movies like he's the Brothers Grimm. They're all folk
movies. Right.
And that's one of the things that I think is super important about him, is that his stories have bigger meaning than just the story itself. Yeah. And one of the ones, because it was one of my favorites growing up, originally not in a good way, was Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Right.
And, I mean, he retells it as a fairy tale.
So he...
Literally a fairy tale.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, he's really good at
folk
tales.
And that looks bigger than the budget.
Right.
What all did he have to do with that? Did he write? Did he produce that? Write it?
I think he wrote and produced it.
Yeah. He wrote and produced that.
That was a good. That was a good movie.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Mama.
Yeah.
So do I. Yeah.
Most people hate.
And it's cool because
Mama's great, and it's just the actual Mama. That's the part that I don't love, but it's great.
Sure.
Well, that's one of those things where I love it, but I want. It makes you wonder if it wouldn't have been better if it was just someone, which it was someone on set, but like it was someone just in an outfit and not like...
Yeah. Because it's funny because everybody's like, oh, the CGI is terrible, but it's a practical effect built around CGI.
Yeah, like
CGI.
It actually made it look less real. But, no, it's interesting because like Del Toro is... It's cool, and I mean, Jackson has done it in his own way too because Weta has, you know, really made inroads in lots of ways, but like... is Del Toro has tried very hard to bring up other Spanish directors.
Right.
And other, you know, Spanish filmmakers and stuff. And it's like he's been, you know, very, like, people he produces and stuff or people that he believes in and is trying to get them out there more.
That guy made It, right? Same director, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't make It without Mama.
Yeah, fuck. Like, that dude could have turned down the biggest grossing horror film of all time, bro. Yeah, by leagues. By, like, I think it made worldwide $700 million.
Tons and more than fucking, the second one.
And fucking Aquaman just hit $1 billion worldwide. Which, again, $1 billion is still more... But, I mean, that's relatively
pretty good
not
for
that
a horror.
Far.
Right.
For, like... So that's, yeah.
Also
so,
directed by a horror director.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so no, because I like Aquaman, and James Wan, like, is one of those... Again, a cool director that, like, seems to kind of know his shit and just, like,
build
really...
worlds.
Yeah, and he invests in young talent. Again, like, that's what's great about these guys, is they're investing in young talent. Like you know, and you want to see them investing in, you know, more people of color, more women and this and that. But, like, with these guys, they're doing it with people they... Like Del Toro's doing it with people that he directly knows and, like... Directly,
admires them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jackson, his co-writers are two women, so it's not like he can throw shade.
Right,
like,
right.
Like he's, you know, ignoring anybody.
Hell, Peter Jackson even hired some extremely young, very talented puppets, too. So.
Yes, that
you know,
did.
They were doing things they shouldn't have been doing.
Hey, those people needed a chance.
He gave them a chance.
He did.
He wanted people in those roles.
Meet the Peoples.
Not, yeah, they were called Meet the Peoples.
Not nearly as good.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Yeah.
And it's interesting that, like...
Wingnut was supposed to be played by Bruce Willis. You know, caught in Vietnam, strung out on heroin. But no.
Oh, nope.
No, when not went to
Peter
a puppet.
Peter Jackson insisted on the
he
young
was like,
puppet.
Look, this young puppet needs a job. I'm not hiring Bruce Willis.
Get him off the smack.
Oh,
in front of the camera.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, and it's fun because...
You couldn't get Ed Norton, so...
It's fun that these guys take chances. Because when you think about it, Pacific Rim was a chance because it was a big budget, giant robot movie.
He just takes a lot of chances.
And Jackson, like, again, like, he made his own zombie movie initially, and then he made... Like a fucking puppet movie, and then another zombie movie that was at the time the goriest movie ever made,
right?
Or the bloodiest, I think.
Bloodiest,
something like
yeah.
that, bloodiest, because it was so many gallons of blood it was used and stuff. You know, and then he challenged. He did, you know, eventually he did drama with like two young actresses that, like, you know, essentially
I
found
Kate
Winslet, right? Yeah,
movie.
Yeah, he found Kate Winslet essentially.
I mean, come on,
see?
Right?
I mean. Del Toro brings up who he brings up, Ron Perlman.
Oh, yeah, like, and Perlman, like, for us, all of us guys, we remember him from Beauty and the Beast. And
right.
I just, he was, like, laughable because
that's
of
what
that.
I thought.
They, like, oh, my God, Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, my
but
God, the guy from
realize,
Beauty and the Beast is Hellboy.
Oh, you know what, though? You know what? Del Toro doesn't get full credit.
No.
He gets most of it because of Jeannot and Caro.
Right.
Because that's where you saw, like, fuck, this dude's really fucking
yeah,
really
good.
And unlike Del Toro...
Pulling him into the mainstream.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, that's
because
yeah.
you know what a fun character he is. Like, that's what the Hellboy movie is going to miss. And I hope that... Because, again, I'm upset. I don't have an interest in it, but I hope because I like the actor playing him.
Me too.
He's a good actor. Like, he's a good actor, and he seems like such a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to throw shade, but, like...
He's funny, so maybe that'll help him.
Like, I wouldn't say the promo was the comic Hellboy, but he was Hellboy.
Yeah.
Like... Because the comic Hellboy is
compare
like,
them.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
comic Hellboy is like just super, just moody, like just moody. Because and I get it, because you're the reason the end of the world is gonna come. So that's
right.
kind of a drag. So
right,
but
well, you know, one thing about Del Toro, actually both of them this way, but Del Toro's kind of maybe had to do it a little more is the attention to detail in the world building.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of Pan's Labyrinth
sure,
especially,
sure.
because every scene you look around at everything and you're like, wow, this
well,
is
yeah.
just...
And Crimson Peak.
Oh, totally.
Crimson Peak's
Crimson
totally
Peak
like
is the next.
Down to like a pencil and a
right,
that.
That's what I'm
no,
saying.
Yeah, like you look
yeah.
at the wallpaper.
Exactly what I mean.
It's moss on the wallpaper.
Yeah.
And Peter Jackson had to do that with King Kong. But it feels like a bit of a different...
It is different.
You see what
well,
I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's interesting.
That's why people wanted Del Toro to make Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Because he could make it feel like that's a real place that you can go to, you know.
And I feel bad for him because he gets so much criticism from fans because he gets on these projects because
he's
again,
trying everything.
Well, because people don't
he wants
people
to
don't
do
want to understand the film like Hollywood. It's like again, look at how many movies fucking James Cameron has been attached to, and Steven Spielberg, and all these fucking movies.
James Cameron was supposed to make Aquaman.
Oh, yeah.
Submariner and Aquaman. Yep. He's been attached to both of them.
I think he was Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the guy made Titanic. You understand water. Can you do Aquaman and Submariner?
But yeah, I mean, Del Toro knows the game, so he signs on for stuff that he's passionate about.
Right.
I think he does the work, and I think it's one of those things. Like, I think everybody else out of the film industry aside, there are bean counters that are watching what the trends are, and they're like, oh, horror movies are down, 5%.
Totally.
So we're going to kill our horror movies
right.
for now, and we'll come back to it. Or, oh, ghost movies are up. Let's do that. Oh, the ghost movies are down. Like, and it's just...
Yeah.
And so I think he waits, and, like, the DC Dark, and I think the DC movies just were such a mess. And he, like, the Dark Universe stuff, he's pushed away. He's like, look... I don't know when or if, because they kept saying, like, we want to do it, and I think he was just like, I already waited, like, spent 5 years on Hobbit.
Right.
I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Right.
And that's just, there's a lot of projects like
that. There has to be something in there that just gets you after a while, like how long he wanted to make Creature from the Black Lagoon. I mean, he's trying to develop that for so long.
Him and Carpenter
long.
Can go and have a drink over that one.
Right, right.
Essentially, he did, though.
That's how smart he is. He's just like, fine, fuck you, I'll be here.
I'm going to rework it. I'm going to make my own Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Well, that's kind of like Carpenter.
So now, I mean, him making Creature from the Black Lagoon probably wouldn't be that good, to be honest with you.
Right, because he's already done it.
To the one he just made.
Right.
Yeah, like Carpenter, like, he loved Howard Hawks, so what does he do? Like, he made a fucking Howard Hawks, he did the thing.
Yep.
Like, he's in Escape from, like, New York, and all these, with, like, these giant, scoped, like, you know, tough lead actor, like, tough, gritty guy, like, these kind of tough guy movies and stuff.
He made his thing, and he put it with that aesthetic.
Yeah, and then he made a fucking sci-fi movie that, like, you could see Spielberg making Starman.
Totally.
And then he got boned out of it, like, with the credit he gets. So, I mean, there's a lot of these guys that are out there, but Del Toro, yeah, you feel for him because of some of the shit that he gets, but he's done, like,
I feel like... Shit, I want to see that. I want to see Mouth of Madness.
And it makes you... You got to give Tom Cruise credit, because he signed on, like... And you would think in old Hollywood, even just, like, 15 years ago, old Hollywood, like, they would have been like, wait, Tom Cruise is on board? Yeah, and James Cameron's going to produce. They would have been like, fuck you! Like, where's the sack of cash to give this motherfucker? Like, let's make this movie. But now it's just like, no, man, like... And I get it. It's $200 million horror film. It never make its money back. Like, it's part two will not come near $700 million.
No.
It'll make probably half, but it's not going to get $700 million.
I think it'll probably be five.
Man,
I think
we'll
five
it, maybe.
Is reasonable. Cause
I think no matter what it is,
when
people
it
are
going
to hate
out.
It. Because it's not the kids, and you're like,
the casting,
Pennywise is stupid. He's not even as good in it.
They did smart casting a couple of really hot people that everybody loves right now, so we'll see.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm like I said before we started. I think that's the movie. Off the top of my head, that's the movie I'm looking forward to the most, because it's gonna surprise me what they said about it, like, and how they wanted to get weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's gonna be interesting.
What movie again?
It. Chapter Two.
Right. No.
Does Doctor Sleep come out this year or next year?
I haven't heard a date on that.
Yeah, because that'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah.
This year. So the Peter Jackson Cities on Wheels.
That already bombed.
Yeah, it did. He produced it, though.
He produced it.
Right. But you could see it was going to bomb. Yeah.
Well, it was one of those things, like, it was too far past the YA, like, young adult kind of disapera kind of stuff. And it stinks, but,
it
like, it, those movies take so long. Like, that's the thing, is, like, especially doing the special effects, they probably had the movie done for a year and a half. And then,
I think it's going to be one of those movies that makes quite a bit when it comes back out, streaming.
Well, look at Sky Captain.
Yeah.
Sky Captain, everybody raved about it, and it came out, and people were like, oh, ho-hum. And now you kind of look back at it, and like, no, that's actually pretty clever.
It
like,
looks
for,
amazing.
For what it is, like, and how they did it, it's like a Rocketeer. It's just like, oh, that's a movie out of time. That's pretty fun.
It looks so different than any other movie.
Absolutely.
Just that alone makes me go, oh.
It's fun to see movies like that.
I'm
going to
watch this again.
But yeah, like, I think... It's fun because Del Toro and Jackson are both big film fans. Like, you can tell. I mean, King Kong is a love letter to the original.
Yes.
And he gets decadent, but, like, it's in ways that, like, it's not...
It's a grounded decadence.
Well, and it's shit that you want, like, we want to see. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, cool, like, we know Sir King Kong. What can I do with it to fool with it but not, you know, break it? Oh, let's actually show what the fucking, what, let's show why King Kong is the king, like, on his island. And it was great.
Yeah,
have all the fans of King Kong and horror to appease, but you also have kids that never, didn't care about King Kong at all. And now they're into it, and they're watching. They're like, wow, man, King Kong.
And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Like the first one would have been back then. I mean, it still is, but I mean, like, where it's just like, you're like, oh, dude.
Oh, man, what?
And it, even more so now, because of the special effects and stuff, it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, one of those incredible casts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's hitting it out of the park.
Nailing it.
Yeah.
I love... Just a specific scene of King Kong in the movie theater. Oh, man, that is my all-time favorite big monster scene. King Kong just ravaging that theater. Oh, it looks so real.
It does look great. It
feels so real.
When he jumps up to the balcony.
Yes!
I gotta get that one and watch it.
I get goosebumps every time I see that.
It's one of the weeks sad. It's like you don't want to bust it out.
You don't
want
to watch the... Yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
But like... I mean,
and you have to get invested in it because it's like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And the deep jungle scenes are amazing. And I remember growing up as a kid and being an Edgar Rice Burroughs fan and thinking, nobody's ever going to make one of these, you know, Journey to the Center of the World books look good. That movie came out and I was like, all right. So we could finally do an Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Tension in the woods.
Yeah,
well, and
incredible.
You can't say that didn't inspire the new King Kong movie.
Totally,
like the action-y one. It's because that stuff, especially where like
absolutely.
They show they didn't go have as much to it, but where it shows like how like dangerous the island is and why Skull Island is dangerous, and it makes you know
making it because
they
palpable
did it in the original
thing.
To a degree, but not like a ton.
Even in the 78 one, a little tiny bit, and the tension on that was almost unbearable for me when I was a kid.
The De Laurentiis one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just the part where, you know, she's tied up.
Sure.
And you, oh, shit, Kong's in the distance. Oh, shit. That was too much for me, you know, as a kid.
Right.
But as an adult, Peter Jackson got me. I'm like, oh, I don't want to see Kong right now.
No.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, but it's weird in the version you just mentioned to think that Lebowski was going to save Justin Lang. You're like, Lebowski?
Yeah.
What's he doing here?
Just like maybe just calm down.
Why do you think? Why do you think he became Lebowski? He's like, man, I've seen some shit. I just want a fucking nice rug and a fucking white Russian and this like
goddamn monkey pissed in my rug.
But, come on, man.
But I mean, then there's a weird fine line you got to walk with like the ape and the woman because where it's like
he
feels sudden empathy for her and sympathy because she is so vulnerable and like different than he's. I mean, it's beauty. He's never seen anything
it's
like that.
Different.
But like, you can't have it. You don't want to get creepy where he's like, because it does. Some of them get creepy where he's like,
let me fiddle with this dress here, buddy.
Falls off.
What's going on in there?
Kong is a little weird at times. You're like, what is going to happen here?
Yes.
Oh my god, that movie's depressing though.
Yeah.
You know,
because that's the one with. On the island, isn't it? Like, it's... Oh, my God!
Yeah.
It's so fucked up!
Yeah.
I'm watching it so fucked up!
Yeah.
Jesus!
Mm-hmm. You know, the Kong stuff was in the Universal ride. The big band.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember riding it.
Yeah. And you can feel that kind of like, it's Kong! He's coming
for us! I mean, Peter Jackson's Kong is pretty great.
He does great spectacle stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, Del Toro does... I mean, he can, because he showed it with Pacific Rim, but he does great, like impactful, like momenty stuff, like emotional, is like the stuff.
Hellboy 2 is pretty spectacular.
Oh yeah, I mean absolutely.
How many monsters are in that?
Like the big plant monster thing.
Yeah.
That's
but I'm
some
thinking
crazy
like,
looking shit.
Some of the like the Crimson Peak, like just that.
Oh yeah.
Creepy intimacy, like just like like
the hallways.
Yeah.
And the stuff between like when she realizes kind of what's going on.
Right.
And just some of that like.
It's more of a pinpointed emotional.
Yeah.
Remember the murder scene in the bathroom?
Yeah.
It's done so well.
Yeah.
I'm always like, every time it happens, like, I kind of, what?
Well, because it's an R-rated movie, and you're like, why is this R-rated? It's a ghost, and it's like, oh, boom. Got it.
Right there.
I see. It's pretty nasty. I gotcha.
Man, yeah. You see, I love the Lord of the Rings movies.
Mm-hmm.
I love all three of them. And I don't want to keep on talking about Kong, but that's probably my favorite, Peter Jackson. And I think it got kind of lost to time a little bit, so it kind of bums me out, you know.
Oh, no, it did, because I think, again, like, Jackson gets so much shit, because he put out a longer version, so people are mad about that, but it's like, but you don't have to watch that. But
right.
They're all already mad
it's not for
it was
you.
A two-hour movie, and it's like, but no, see, here's the thing, and what they're not looking at, and it's like, he took... And even the originals has this, but it's just they didn't have the blank, you know, time. It's like he took like a really goofy premise, and he made it an emotionally impactful, like heartbreaking movie that has like a lot to it. It's like that's not a. I mean, if it's not your thing, that's cool. It's not a bad thing.
You gotta give credit.
Just
where
like
it's due.
Just like Del Toro made a giant spectacle, giant robot movie. But made it in a like a way that feels like still has like moments of intimacy and still feels like, I mean, he made a big Hollywood blockbuster without making a Hollywood blockbuster kind of thing, because none of those are like the right. name actors that you think of, and like it's
newer Godzilla go that route without these, you know, these earlier the same kind of thing,
right?
Oh yeah, no, that was
like Godzilla, I mean, making it more personal. Making it a thing where you're following characters instead of just waiting for Godzilla to show up and break
Absolutely.
Shit.
Well, and it got
you know
people
I mean?
To start taking giant monsters and like, I don't know, seriously, but like not laughing at
right.
this stuff. Just like
right.
Marvel couldn't jump right into the weird, you know, like the space cosmic stuff and Thanos and everything
right.
until they established like, no, these are quote unquote real people. These are characters that are like they have pathos, and these are, you know, people. And then like they already are kind of broken, and then you put something on the table. Like, you know, in Guardians of the Galaxy, it took a minute until you're like, a fucking talking raccoon and a weird tree, like,
yeah.
you had to build the world.
Yep.
Interesting that you bring that up, because the other day I noticed that Sally Hawkins is in the Godzilla movie as well as Shape of Water.
Oh.
I was like, oh my gosh, she's kind of a genre actress. I didn't think about it. Until just then, I was like, oh, two movies.
Right.
In a genre.
Now she can do cons.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's cool. So, yeah, anyway. What's your favorite?
I was going to say, because, like, yeah, we're kind of getting towards it. So, my favorite Del Toro, I think probably all of, well, is Pan's Labyrinth, and I think that's just, I mean, it's hard to, it'd be that or it'd be Devil's Backbone, just because those are just, both of them are so much great stuff otherwise, but so emotionally like just resonating.
Yeah,
they're about more than what they're about.
Yeah, and then Jackson.
I love that.
Jackson, honestly, Forgotten Silver is one of my favorites. Like, I think it's such a fun, charming film. But like with him, I mean, Lord of the Rings, and I look at that as one.
But
one
if you
film,
pick one of those three, is it the
good
third?
God.
It's third or the second, probably.
Yeah.
Well, with Del Toro. I agree, but I can look at that as one movie, The Devil's Backbone and Pan's Labyrinth.
And only Kronos is supposed to
I
be.
Kind of, it's during that war.
Because it's during the
Civil
War.
Different parts of the war.
Yeah. It's just
Kronos
like, this was
too,
done
right?
this.
Kronos?
Takes, like,
no, Kronos. Yeah, no, Kronos, yeah.
But it's
there's
part of his
Mexico trilogy. Or like,
I'm sure it's a trilogy, but... The other two take place in Spain,
same, yes.
and that one
gotcha.
Takes place in Mexico.
Right.
Well, no, there's some other, but... God, yeah, it seems like there's another movie that was part of, like, his kind of Civil War kind of thing. Like,
really?
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I could be,
huh.
I mean...
So, I mean, I kind of... It's easy for me to think of those as, you know, they're both taking place, and they're probably just, you know, a couple hundred miles away from each other, and...
Yeah.
But
oh.
it's those. It'd be hard for me to pick one over the other, to be honest with you. I think... Pan's Labyrinth, that ending boosts it over the top. Over
I bawled my eyes out at the ending of Pan's Labyrinth.
It's brutal.
It's just, and it's beautiful and perfect.
Pan's
Labyrinth, like when someone tells me, name your favorite movie, I have the go-to of On the Waterfront.
Yeah.
But in my mind, it's either on the waterfront, Pan's Labyrinth.
Right.
Like, I have, like, three or four different ones that I go through every time. And some days, I'd say Pan's Labyrinth is not just my favorite. It is my favorite movie of all time.
You like that one more than Ernest Goes to Jail?
Barely. By a hair over Ernest Goes to Jail, Pan's Labyrinth.
I wasn't sure. I was going to be like, what the
hell? I don't think I've ever been as moved and never stopped being moved by a movie as Pan's Labyrinth. And it directly shows up in my everyday thinking.
Right.
Like, it helps me, it comforts me in ways to deal with loss.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and I use it to get through things.
Peter Jackson, of course, the Lord of the Rings movies, but, I mean, a very close second for me is Frighteners.
Yeah.
And I think it's one, that's a fun movie. The one I forget about, too.
Yeah.
Even though it's a close second, it's the one where when I start listing those movies, I'm not thinking of it for some reason. It's the one that doesn't stand out until you go, oh, don't forget about Frighteners. And then my brain is like, holy shit, it's so good.
He's done more movies than you think.
Yeah. And it's also partially because you think of these as almost untouchable. Like, you can't make Lord of the Rings. No one can ever touch that. Whereas there's kind of a subgenre for the Frighteners to go into already.
Right.
Where Lord of the Rings is, it's epic.
It's Star Wars,
Lord of the Rings, it's that.
Yeah. And I used to love to watch Frighteners alongside of Evolution.
Oh.
You guys remember
that? Oh, yeah. Fun.
Because they both kind of felt like these fun little genre
types. Well, because they're both inspired by Ghostbusters. That kind of, which is weird that they didn't. Men in Black is too. Like, but that's like everything started aping Men in Black instead of like kind of Ghostbusters.
Right.
So.
Yeah, Men in Black would be a fun one to watch.
That's our modern Ghostbusters, basically.
Yeah.
But the other thing I want to mention about Del Toro before we wrap up too is that I still love his character, Pappy McPoyle, from It's Always Sunny. He's an ongoing character of an inbred family on that show. So he's like the patriarch of all these inbred people.
It's so funny.
And he's hilarious, because there's one where that takes place during a court case. I think he has a pet bat that lives under his hat.
Yep.
That when he lifts up the hat, the bat starts flying around the...
Have you seen any of these?
I saw part of an episode of Always Sunny, and I was not my cup of tea. It was not my bag.
Oh, man. That's pretty great.
But he's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
He's been out at, like, 3 times, I think. Weird. Every time, it's
so odd.
It's bizarre and weird.
You wonder, like, was he in town? So they wrote him into the script?
I mean, those guys are super huge fans of, like, genre stuff, so you...
And he seems like the coolest guy.
Yeah. So they probably just begged him at some point.
Yeah. That's funny.
And, I mean, if you bring him that character.
Right.
You know, Del Toro's going to be like, oh, I get to play a patriarch of an inbred family? Yes.
He probably just laughed and said, yeah, I'll do it.
Right.
Have you guys seen anything? Because I have one movie that I've seen of note, and I told you about it before, but, like, anything of note that kind of... His mind is not horror, because I finally watched the John Huston Moby Dick the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, I was blown away. Like,
great, that's right?
Amazing.
Yeah, fantastic movie. And like, and it's literally one of those things where I could see it becoming like a dark horse, in the dark horse kind of wings of my favorite movies. But like, it becomes a monster movie at the end. And I never would have imagined. Yeah. Like,
I was going to say, it fits this technically, because it is a monster
and
movie.
And it's almost like you wish, it'd be interesting to see somebody take that script and do it like with modern special effects, but like it was because I read about it too, because I was watching it off of Amazon and it's so washed out. I'm like, what the fuck? I wonder if the Blu-ray they put out is better. It's like, no, that was the look John Huston wanted. And I didn't know he wanted to look like one of those old sea paintings, and I'm like, fucking, he nailed it. Like, it absolutely looks like that. Like, that world is completely built. It was not at all what I expected it to be. I don't know what I thought it would be.
Well, it was Bradbury, Soul. He loved that movie.
And fucking Orson Welles for a minute.
He wrote so many essays about him, his writing that movie, and working with Huston.
It also, the Huston thing gets weird though for him.
Yeah,
it's a love hate,
right?
Because he's like, I love the guy what he made, but Houston was a dick to him.
Yeah. We're going to save that for the Bradbury episode. Yeah.
In the short story Banshee, mm-hmm. based on
right.
that. I mean, almost deal with Houston. Weirdly, directly.
Yeah. And that, he didn't try to cover it up.
No, no. Not you know who it is. Yeah. I mean, in the when they filmed it for Bradbury Theater, Peter O'Toole's playing Houston, right. and he feels like he's Houston. Yeah. You're like, yeah. oh my God.
There's no mistaking what's trying to go on there.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. No, the one that I saw recently that I was actually shocked how good it was, based on the people who told me I should see it, I was like...
Scared stupid.
Right. I was like, this is not going to be good, because who told me, you know, you got to see this, I thought, nah, I'm not a big fan of your taste in movies.
So right.
Belko Experiment kind of blew me away.
It's okay, yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I was expecting it. Number one, I thought it was like an independent film. It was just kind of indie actors in it.
Oh, yeah.
The and when all the cast came up, I was like, are you kidding me? These people are in this?
Yeah.
Some of them I was kind of shocked would be in that movie, in fact.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it had me kind of wanting to pull my hair out by the end of it.
I like that it hints at something bigger, and that always... Drives yeah. me crazy, but makes it interesting.
Right.
I mean, right. almost kind of like Cabin in the Woods. But yeah. like Cabin in the Woods, they pay it off in a way.
Better.
But yeah, yeah. like it hints like, oh, yeah, there's something bigger going on, and you're not really going to get a full
and
look.
And sure, it does peter out at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... But I mean, incredibly well made.
Especially if you're going in thinking it's garbage.
I wouldn't think it was going to be garbage.
Yeah. yeah.
See, I wonder if you'd like Upgrade then. Because it reminds me of that kind of a movie where it's like an action-y kind of like, very intense, like, oh, this isn't what I thought. Like, what the hell?
Right.
right.
That, isn't that, who made that movie?
Oh, shit. It's not Lucier, is it?
Is it?
No, oh. I can't fucking remember. I remember when it was, because it was somebody's genre. So here, let me.
Yeah, it's Homeboy from, The Conjuring. Right? Lee Whannell?
Oh, Lee Whannell.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He seems like somebody to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he's done, I mean, it's, yeah, he's definitely done interesting stuff. Like, he's kind of been in Juan's shadow, so it's kind of like, it's good to see him stepping out, but he's an interesting guy, because he definitely has his head on his shoulders and stuff.
He's a good writer.
Yeah. So, did you see anything?
You've
seen a bunch of
I've been watching a bunch of shit, man. I'm just trying to get... Like, in my mind, because I've had a free trial for Shudder.
Oh, yeah.
So, every night I've been watching, like, two movies while I write, you know, or whatever I'm doing.
So, right now, your answer's, like, all these movies strung together.
Right. I'm trying to think of
blah, 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 blah.
I watched Revenge again, and I was just equally impressed as I was the first time. It's just so well made, and it turns the rape revenge thing completely on its head. It goes to places that maybe it shouldn't go, but not in that way.
Right.
If you get what I mean. Mm-hmm. Because it was on Shudder, exclusive to Shudder right now. So I watched it again just to see. Was I like dreaming that was really good? Because I don't those kind of movies. I just don't like
them. I might watch it because of your recommendation. I'm super stoked because, oh my God. Sorry to Bother You is on Hulu for free.
Yeah.
I'm like, son of a bitch. So I want to check that out pretty bad.
About Revenge, one thing that I would say is that it's almost a precursor to Mandy in some ways, without giving anything away, as far as being just not what you would normally find in this kind of thing.
Okay.
It's not way out there like Mandy or anything like that, but it's just made really well.
Okay.
And then the other one that I saw is... You Might Be the Killer, I think it's called.
Huh.
I just watched that last night, and it's totally a satire on slashers.
Okay.
But it's what the title suggests. The guy's not sure if he's the killer or not. And they're like in a camp and everything. It has all kind of some stupid timeline jump things that are there for no reason.
Oh.
But it's pretty funny.
That's cool.
You know, it's... The heart is in the right place, because it has the spirit of a horror fan. So from that point of view, I like it. It has Allison Hannigan in it.
Oh, cool.
So, kind of cool. It wasn't amazing. But, like, for an hour, I think it's like an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You could do worse.
It's a shame that, like, in that vein, like, that Final Girl didn't do better.
Oh, I know.
Because that's just so good.
All the way through, too.
Yeah.
Final
Girl. The very first minute to the very last minute. Solid movie.
Final Girl and Final Girls. They were both good.
Yeah.
One was better than the other, but, yeah.
Yeah, I've watched a ton of stuff, but yeah, like, Moby Dick was the one that's kind of worth mentioning of all the shit I've seen.
And being bummed that, you know, Sci-Fi canceled Channel Zero.
Oh, yeah.
And
Stan.
Yeah.
Got canceled.
Sci-Fi didn't do that, but yeah.
I forget. Stan IFC.
IFC, yeah. Kind of a bummer, because I really like those. Those were two of my actual favorite shows.
Again, I feel like it's probably a trend. I think you're going to start seeing probably less and less horror stuff. Like, and I wonder if part of it's blowback from Walking Dead, because I think Walking Dead's starting to sag, and I think people are just tired.
Yeah.
We're in a stressful time. Like, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So politically and everything, so maybe just people don't. There's already enough horror, so they want, like, mindless kind of stuff. I don't know. Who knows? We'll hear
Against
in 10
Evil,
years.
Kind of like Ash vs. Evil Dead's little brother. Because they didn't have the budget, but it was really funny and cool character, almost like an Uncle Steve character. And I kept on thinking that the whole time, like, man, you. But yeah, I'll miss those shows. Unless Shudder picks them up. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, I would think Channel Zero will get picked up by somebody.
Yeah.
Just because that just is too...
Such a well-developed idea.
Too prestigious to, like...
Yeah.
But again, who knows? Like, I would have thought Exorcist might have gotten picked up, because that was just like...
Good call.
Because that was such a... They had done such a great job in kind of creating a sequel for the movies, and then, like, creating another...
More
like,
lore.
A new path. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, a new path, and...
Man.
But...
What a cool show that was. Anyway. Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Wah, wah. We will reconvene, hopefully, with the devil soon, and... See if we can get the ladies back on here one of these days. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
All right, cool. Well, everybody stay warm in the milky mitten. It is cold.
You turn the heater off and I'm already like, shit.
It's colder than the grave.
It is.
Colder than the gravy.
Man.
But all right, cool. Everybody stay warm.
We love you.
Bye.